Guys, be careful who you pick on when they're little. Because used to, I would pick on Brian Mills. He's my wife's baby brother. And so on purpose tonight, he scheduled my son and daughter-in-law to sing right before I'm supposed to get up here and preach. At least they didn't sing Daddy's Bible or one of those kind of songs, you know. But rather a light to my soul, and that's what we're talking about. We're going to be in 2 John tonight. 2 John. Now, Brother James, Brother Abel's been talking about how many points in their messages. I've got two. But I'm going to preach the whole book. And so we'll be all right there. Fortunately, it is a little book. And this little book centers on truth. We, as children of God, need to major on truth. We're going to look at two aspects, the practical and the doctrinal aspects of continuing in truth. The practical aspect is walking in truth and love. Well, now, which one's it going to be, preacher? It can be both. It can be both. And it is both. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Let's go to the Lord. Father, I do ask you to help me now keep my mind straight. Help me to be able to speak the words you want said in a manner that you want them spoken. And pray that you'll cause each of us to have attentive hearts and minds that will receive your word and apply it to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Knowing the truth. You know, it is not just our pastor's responsibility or the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. It's your responsibility to know the truth. Now, if you've been saved a month or so, it's okay to say, well, when you're talking to people about scriptural things, say, I don't know, let me ask my pastor. That's okay. But if you've been saved 10 or 20 or 50 years, you ought to kind of have it narrowed down yourself. You need to know that. Here, he says, John says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children." Of course, John is the elder, twofold elder. He's an elder like pastor, bishop, elder. All of those are synonyms for what Brother Abels does around here. He is our pastor, he's our bishop, he's our elder. But then it also applied to John at this point in his life, age-wise. I'm finally beginning to kind of come to grips with that. Not real well, I still struggle, but I'm kind of getting a hold of it. Saturday night we were at our Sunday school class activity, and it was outside. Well, the elder folks know if you're going to be outside, bring a good chair. I just knew that. And they set up a campfire, and I snuggled right up to it, and sitting in my chair, and my wife, I had her chair, my chair there, and I said, "You need to get up and let one of the older folks have your chair." Then I looked around. The oldest folk had my chair. So You have to come to grips with that sooner or later, I guess. Here, John is elder by office, but also elder by experience. The beloved one in the book of John was the young guy, and now he's gone through life. He will end his life on the Isle of Patmos, but in between there, he has matured into an elder Christian. And that should be our goal. Here, a few years ago, someone was talking about mine and Janice and mine, life for the Lord. And she said to me, "We didn't plan that. We just live for God today and planned on living for Him tomorrow." And Shazam, what do you know? It's been 60 years. And that's how that works. Amen? And it ought to be that way. We should. As we mature, we ought to mature in the Lord. We should do that. The elect lady and her children, that's the church and its members. The last verse, "The children of thy elect sister greet thee, amen," tells me that this is two churches talking together. And love should be shared between two churches. If you get the idea that this church is the only one that's right, and you don't want to have anything to do with anybody that's not a member of this church, you probably got a problem. Yeah. However, in this message, we're going to see that there are barriers to just associating with everyone. You see, if we're going to love God's people and worship with them, it's got to be in truth. I have had people encourage me, "Well, let's just don't talk doctrine. Let's just love in the Lord." Run. Not the place for me. Number one, I don't know how you can talk about God without talking about doctrine. It's called Bible. If you can't talk Bible, you don't have anything to talk about. John 8, 31 and 32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We ought to be free to enjoy the word of God. But the way you enjoy the Word of God is accepting it at face value as truth. Yes. Beware if you're listening to someone speak and they get into some shady point and they use words like "this seems to indicate," or "a better rendition of this might be." Be careful. Be careful. You know what I believe the truth is? It's simply the truth. Yeah. I get frustrated if I listen to a political speech and then the comment, well, I'm usually frustrated by the time I'm done listening to it. But if I do, and then the commentators come on and they tell me what I just heard and they say it's something completely different than my ears heard, I don't like that. Amen. I just want the straight facts. And in the Word of God, that's what God wants us to do. Just take it as fact, straight for what it says. In truth. In truth. We love, labor, and worship for the truth's sake. Verse 2. Beloved, my Bible has 2 John at the top and 3 John at the bottom. And I've been doing that all day, starting to read 3 John instead of 2 John. Verse 2 says, "For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." Forever. God's word will stand. Amen. We don't have to be changing it. We don't have to look to a new rendition of it. Let's just accept God's word for what it says, the way it says it, and enjoy it. Amen. Just enjoy it. Jesus Christ is truth.
Amen.
The great question was once asked, what is truth in the Word of God? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's Jesus and His Word.
Yes.
And by the way, the older I get and the more I study the Word, the more confused I get in separating Jesus and the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
Hey, if you believe Jesus, you believe His Word.
Amen.
And if you don't believe His Word, you don't believe in Jesus, we're going to see here in just a little bit. God's Word is truth. Jesus saith unto John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, let's not get into the Bible. Let's just love Jesus. No. Jesus is the basis of our sweet fellowship. And it is sweet when we can fellowship with Jesus' people. I'm getting ready. Tomorrow morning we're going to leave to see some folks that I have loved for many years when we were young people. Mrs. Ingram took care of us. When I got out of Bible college, we moved to Houston, Texas, and she helped me bring Janice and Chris home from the hospital when Chris was first born. And he would keep my old cars going, and they'd patch us up and take care of us and loved us at down times. Mr. Ingram went home a couple years ago, and Mrs. Ingram is very, very near. But I love that old lady. And I have for a long time. And the thing that has held us closer together than anything else is our mutual love for Jesus and His Word.
Amen.
Never needed to wonder where they stood on the Word of God. Their love for Him. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How do you separate Christians from non-Christians? The Word. That's it. That's what sanctify means. That's separate. Just if they have Bible, if they got Bible salvation, they're the child of God. If they don't have Bible salvation, they're not the child of God. And then we see in verse 3, what I call the triad of blessing. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. First, grace. Grace is what brings salvation. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. It's His grace. It's not because we deserve it. Listen, He didn't come and say, this group is good enough to go to heaven, so I'll save them, and this group is... Girls, honest, I didn't really pick the boys on that side. But you know who goes to heaven? Those that will repent of their sin and trust Jesus Christ as their eternal Savior, then we are elected into the Beloved. He says, you do that and I'll love you for eternity. And that's called grace. And mercy. Grace is receiving what we don't believe or don't deserve. Mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us. As a grandparent and now a great grandparent, it is not my job to set rules for those kids. It's my job to spoil them. But when Dallas was a little tyke, we were taking care of him. And Janice told him to do something, and he ran from her. And boy, I took out after him, and I cornered him. And he looked up at me, because he knew he deserved to get killed, and he thought that's what I was there for. But guess what? He didn't get killed. He didn't get touched. But boy, he sure didn't ever run from her again. I wasn't going to do it. And besides that, I looked at that face and I nearly giggled out loud. If you kids want to know something, you can work your grandparents. If they're the right kind of grandparents. Yours may be those old mean kind that think they need to help your parents raise you. No, it's my job to spoil my grandkids and my great-grandkids. And for years I had them each one convinced that they were my favorite. But then they got together and compared notes. That blew that. Mercy. It's easy if you love folks. Have you ever had someone owed you something? And boy, you had it where you could just nail them good, but you didn't want to because you loved them. That's called mercy. You know. The strongest man that I knew growing up, we had arm wrestle. And he could beat anybody arm wrestling that I knew. But as he got older and I got to working hard, one day we started to arm wrestle, and I could feel his arm giving a little bit, and I let him put me down. You know why? Because I didn't want to beat him. Why? I loved him too much. And it was a way more important to me for him to be a winner than me to be a winner. Especially on something as inconsequential as that. Now, my friend, God, even on the important stuff, still loves you and wants you to be on the winning side. And that comes from him. And then he gives us peace. Peace is what guards our heart. Peace is what can take us in the valley of despair and we still know it's going to be okay. Our church has been going through that. Our family has. Brother Mallard and his family is. But there can still be peace that God is in control. And God knows.
Yeah, right.
And although it may not make us want to giggle, we can still rest assured that we are loved and it's going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Because of the peace of God in our heart. My mother, the way she worked her grandkids, her favorite was the one closest to her. And for a while, my oldest daughter, Elaine, lived with her. And she was the favorite. Why? Because she was there. And by the way, if you want your grandparents to like you better, go see them, hang out with them, be there. Okay. I was looking at my granddaughter. Yeah, I was. When Elaine was living with Mom was in Oregon visiting family, and Elaine died in a car accident. And the family out there was ready to dope Mom up so that she could make the flight back home. We'll take you to the doctor and we'll get you some medicine. That means dope up. And Mom says, I don't need that stuff. I've got Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Elaine has Jesus Christ. And she's better off. And Mom had peace knowing in the time of turmoil that God was in control. And nothing can replace that, my friend. We need God's grace, we need His mercy, and we need His peace. Verse 3, the source of that. Grace be with you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from barbiturates. It doesn't come from a bottle. It doesn't come from a needle. It comes from the Lord.
Amen.
Well, are you again all those things? Peace comes from God.
Amen.
If you want peace, you go to God.
Right.
Well, how does He do it? In truth and love. He'll tell you the truth, and if you'll embrace that, He just loves you. God loves you. That's something to get a hold of, and it'll make your day better. When the heartaches come, when things get tough, when you have doubts and you don't know exactly what's the right thing to do, let God love on you. Let God love you. Okay, then there's walking in truth. There's knowing the truth and then walking in the truth. Verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. His children walk in the truth. Not only do we believe it, we practice it. I don't think Berean Baptist Church ought to be just a church that believes the Bible. I think we ought to be a church that practices the Bible.
Amen.
There's quite a bit of difference, isn't there? And that's what He says here. His children walk in the truth in verse 4. It's always the right course. It's always right. In this world, the world will tell us one thing. The government will tell us this, and society tells us that, and our redneck personalities tell us something just the opposite. You know what to do? Just get in the Bible and follow it. Just get in the Bible. You'll find out, number one, sometimes it ain't all that big a deal to take a stand on. It just really doesn't matter that much. And number two, if you just get in the Bible, you can just have peace knowing that you're right. And then you don't have to browbeat everyone else into trying to agree with you. You just know that you're right and they can be wrong if they want to. We need to continue the practice of Christian love according to verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Well, preacher, I love other Christians. You know what would be a good idea? Just set, I don't know how long you've been saved. Some of us, it's a really long time. Some of you, not so long. But how many true friends can you go back to that you've had the whole time you saved, that you really love? Well, not very many. Is that their fault or yours? Are you walking in love? Well, yeah, but you don't understand. I used to love them, but they bought a Chevy instead of a Dodge. I do know a fellow that got mad at church one time because they bought a new van and it wasn't a Chevy. That's the kind of people who buy Chevys. Isn't that silly? But we can get just as silly over other things. Our pastor was talking about COVID Sunday. The things. And you see people's gills turning red when you start talking about it. Well, preacher, what do you think you should do? Well, I don't know. I got vaccinated, and I got COVID, and I got in an infusion, and I got well, and I think the reason was the prayers of the saints. And the love of God's people and God Himself.
Amen.
And our beloved friends who are going through that and family, man, we need to, in love, get a hold of God for them.
Yes, amen. Yes, sir.
And church, right now, hey, Ben's on our thoughts, right?
Sure.
Keep Him in prayer just like He was when He was critical. Guilty of letting up. Not because I don't love Him, but because I just am too self-centered, I guess, and thought of other things. Let's get serious in prayer for the saints. Especially our saints. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." You know, we oughtn't to be ashamed to let folks know that we love them. John England, a lot of you know him. He came to the church in Stratford. He was a young man. He had just transferred here as a cop in Springfield. Now, John knew two things his whole life. He was an adopted boy, so he never had a whole lot of home life. But he went into the Marine Corps. When he got out of the Marine Corps, he became a police officer in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. Then he came to Springfield. John really hated shaking hands. And there was no way he was going to hug a man. But if you run across John England now, number one, he's as big a crybaby as I am. And he hugs me every time he sees me.
Amen.
Now, you know what did that? What made that change? Love.
Amen.
Love. And I'm not saying you got to go handling everybody you see to prove your love. What I am saying, though, it'll sure make a difference in the way you treat people. It'll make a difference in the way you act towards others if you truly love them. And love cannot be separated from His commandments. Verse 6. And this is the love, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. I have seen people who were so close to God that they hated Christians. Baloney. We call those Pharisees. Pharisaical attitude. You're not as good as me, so how could I love you? Well, bless your heart. with an open heart. That's how you do it. Just with an open heart. Well, preacher, is there anyone that you can say you love that isn't close to God? Oh, yes. Yes. Do I want them to be close to God? Yeah. Do I pray for them? Yes. Can I even wish myself accursed from God for them? A couple of them. But it won't work that way. But you ought to live before them and walk in such a manner that they can never doubt your love for them. Oh, you'll hear they think they're better than we are because they go to church stuff. All that is God answering your prayers. Before my dad got saved, we would pray, four of us, nearly every week. He'll hit the altar, my brother, sister, younger brother. We'd go to the altar, pray that daddy get saved. I'd go home from church. Older brother, he escaped because he didn't live at home. He was married. I'd go home from church, and either I was too late, I was out lollygagging around, probably getting into trouble, or I was too early, I'd driven way too fast, shouldn't have been home by then. Or I came in too quiet, sneaking in like an old cur dog, or I come in trying to wake up the whole neighborhood. I was in trouble. Didn't matter. Why? It took me a long time to figure out, because God was answering my prayer. And Dad was under conviction. And when I kind of figured that out, then I could be a better testimony before him than whenever I saw them. I was not. Folks, when those you're praying for get mean at you, instead of trying to defend yourself, love them. Love them. Say, thank you, Lord, for, not in front of them. Thank you, Lord, for answering the prayer and convicting them of their wicked deeds. Tell God that in secret, okay? But then just love them. Just love them and keep doing right. Keep doing right for righteousness' sake. Then the doctrinal aspect, watching against error. Verse 7. We are to stand on the truth. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we have received a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. The raging doctrine of the day is, was Christ risen from the dead? Listen, there's no question about that if you're going to be saved. Either Jesus Christ is alive and his grave is empty, or you're going to hell. Well, preacher, that didn't sound very loving. No, but it was very true. Yeah. It's true. And we have to stand on those truths. We have to protect the truth. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus is Christ. For many deceivers are come into the world who confess not that Jesus is Christ. That Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Teachers of untruths are antichrists. It's just the way it is. You can go back in 1 John, and verse after verse teaches this, that we are to shun and avoid and recognize untruths. Well, how do you know what's truth and what's not?
Amen.
That's the answer.
Amen.
That's the answer. I've already mentioned, if it seems to indicate, it seems to indicate to me I need to find someone else to hang with. They denied Christ came in the flesh. Today they want to deny other things also. They want to deny that this is the very Word of God. The King James Bible is the preserved, inerrant, perfect Word of God. We believe that around here. For a while, it was a question, and Sunday school teachers would want to use another perversion. And the churches I pastored, I had a standard answer. I just can't understand the King James. Well, then really, you probably need to get in the pastor's class and sit there a while rather than to try to teach others. You still need to be taught.
Amen.
You didn't chop their heads off? Not the first go round. But folks, we have to stand in the truth. Our pastor says, you know, he's a independent, fundamental, King James Version, premillennial, all the list goes through Baptist, and he's not angry about it. And I'm not either, but I am dogmatic about it. And that's, I told him that the other day. He says, yeah, I need to add that. And we do need to be dogmatic about those things. Well, do you believe it enough to die for it? Well, let's see. Has anyone died over baptism? Yes, they have. Has anyone died over the Word of God? Yes, they have. Has anyone died over the communion? Yes, they have. And if we love God as much as they did, we ought to be willing to take our stand, even if it costs us some popularity. Doctrine is true, and we've got to stand on our Bible doctrines.
Amen.
Just how it is. And we need to brand some people deceivers and antichrists. When Russ was a teenager, we were going down the road, and the radio was on, and a preacher came on. Have no idea who he was or what, even what radio station was on. Probably KWFC, but I don't remember. Anyway, this guy began to talk, and he used the terms I referred to. This seems to indicate, and a better translation, I says, it won't be 10 minutes till he's preaching heresy. Well, he beat that by nearly 9 minutes. Folks, be careful. And don't be afraid to say, that's not true. But make sure you base it on the Word of God. And don't be hateful about it. Just be dogmatic about it. The Bible is the very Word of God. These deceivers in John's day went out of the church. Acts 20, verse 30 says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Let me explain something to you, folks. Folks who come into this church, and because they don't like where this church stands, which is biblical standards, they go away, and especially if they want to draw other people with them, they are not of God.
Amen.
Well, preacher, that's pretty harsh. No, it's true.
Amen.
It's true. The Bible is always truthful. The Bible is always right. And just as in John's day, There were those who wanted to twist the Word of God and pull other people out of church. Folks, it's happening still today. There was a family who used to go to this church, and I can't remember their name, and I'm glad I can't. They made friends with a couple that was in the church at Stratford that I was pastoring. And they did everything they could to get those folks to leave our church and come here. Well, preacher, how do you know that was wrong? Because God called them out there. And God was using them out there. And they were content out there until those folks started trying to proselyte them into here. Now, it wasn't long until those folks that this was the only church to attend went attending somewhere else. Those are deceivers. And it can be right here in our very midst, can't it? And we need to be careful. And when we hear people rumoring and sowing discord among the brethren, we better run to the Word of God and see where the truth lays. But shouldn't you give them the benefit of the doubt? I'll tell you who you ought to give the benefit of the doubt is, and that's Pastor Agles. Just trust him a little bit if you got to trust somebody. Why, preacher? Because he's the one that God has appointed over Berean Baptist Church to lead us in the ways of righteousness. That's why. And the doctrine of Christ is the acid test. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. That's where it's at. Do you love the Lord? Do you want to please God? Do you want with all your heart to let Jesus Christ shine in your life? If you do, you're probably going to be right. If not, you need to get on your knees and repent and get right with God. And this needs to carry on besides just in our personal lives and in our church even. It needs to be in our home. It needs to be in our home. Notice verse 10. If there come any among you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Folks, we need to be careful what we let come into our house. Whether it's people knocking on our doors, or our radio, or our TV. Let me give you a pet peeve. When preachers know more about how some of these televangelists act and talk than they should, that makes me nervous. Don't not be listening to it. As a young Christian, I learned a very valuable lesson, and I'm glad God helped me with this. I was visiting with some people, and the Jehovah's Witness started visiting them. And they gave them one of those green books. And I said, well, you know what? Let me trade you this King James Bible for that green book. And so I had that green book, and I sat down with it and took a red ink pen and just started underlining, starting in the book of John, either what was a poor translation or contrary to what they taught. And nearly every line I was underlining. But then I got to think, well, you know, what if they're right? What if this is right and you're wrong? I went, put it in the trash where it belonged, and got in the Bible. Amen. And it was a valuable lesson to me that, listen, even a little bit of poison can poison you even if you wash your hands after you're done. Be careful. And when they come to your house, don't let them in. And when you talk to them on the porch, be careful, because they're excellent at saying, they'll get real sweet and kind to you, then say, God bless you. And it's natural to say, well, God bless you. Don't do it. God's not involved in what they're doing, and you don't want him to bless you. You might say something like, well, I pray God will enlighten you and show you the truth of salvation. But be careful about wishing them Godspeed. That means God bless you, brother. Be careful about that. Why? Because God says not to do it right here. That's why. Don't let it in your house. Charity or love or giving or acceptance of false teachers is a sin against God. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. When the cults or liberals or apostates deny the doctrine of Christ, and they all do, our duty is clear in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 17, where it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Folks, as we pull out from the world and we refuse the doctrines of the world and the doctrines of false religion, let's in love band together even more. Let our love increase in the truth. Amen. Do you know that you ought to love your church? And it's not wrong to say, I love Berean Baptist Church. Nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, it's the right thing to do. And if you'll just let your love show here, you know what's apt to happen? That apt to be some old boy or lady that loves you right back. And it's a good thing. That's a good thing when folks love one another in the Lord. But let's let it not be at the expense of the truth. And I'm so thankful for a church where we can love one another in the truth and we don't have to compromise the Word of God one whit. And if you wonder why the preaching here is so dogmatic in some areas, it's to keep the error of false teaching out. It has been that way ever since I've been associated with the church, which is nearly 50 years, with Brother Gray and with Pastor Abels. They just want to preach the truth. And our love ought to be for the truth. Tonight, have you been weakening maybe in your love for the truth? Maybe you've been having some friends and you say, well, I know it's Bible, but it's not all that important, is it? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Or, but they're so sweet. You know, the devil can be transformed into an angel of light.
Yes, sir.
And there are some really sweet demons of hell. But if you want to see their true colors, just stay with the Word of God. And if they fall in love with Jesus and His Word, keep loving them. And if they reject his word, then you better find someone else to be friends with and to walk with. And a good place to find those kind of friends is right here, doing what you're doing, coming on Wednesday night and Sunday night and serving God and just enjoying his word. That's a good way to find good godly friends. But God help us to keep his word at the center of our beliefs. Let's all stand.